Money Talk. This is Akashvani. In the program Money Talk, now we bring you a discussion on India's rising economic strength, growth projections and record electronics export. The participants were Dilip Chinoy, economic analyst, and Rajesh Leek, anchor.
Welcome to Money Talk. Today we focus on India's rising economic strength, growth projections and record electronics exports. The IMF has just raised India's FY26 growth forecast to roughly 7.3%, reaffirming the country's role as a key driver of global growth, even as it expects a moderation thereafter. At the same time, India's electronics exports have hit an all-time high of around $47 billion in 2025, powered by smartphone manufacturing and government incentive schemes. To unpack what these numbers really mean for jobs, investors and India's long-term economic trajectory, we are joined by Dilip Chinoy, veteran economic analyst and former FICCI Secretary General, who has spent decades working at the intersection of policy, industry and reforms. Dilip, a warm welcome to Money Talk.
Thank you.
Dilip, the IMF has raised India's FY26 growth forecast to about 7.3%, even while signaling slower growth, nearly 6.4%, over the following 2 years. From your vantage point, what are the three most important drivers behind this upgraded near-term forecast?
The IMF has, in its report itself, looked at very specific three areas that they recognize as the drivers of this growth. The first driver that they have identified in their own report is services. The services contribution is the largest contributor to GDP, with IMF and recent trade data highlighting two areas. The first one is IT and business services, especially the global capability centers that are opening here. They have expanded into high-end R&D from basic services. And second in the services area, which is very interesting, is the financial services. It's actually a twin balance sheet advantage. That is the first strong balance sheets of corporates and healthy corporate profits. So these are driving the IT services. The second driver of growth really is infrastructure and public investment. We especially talked about the sustained public investment as a driver for the 7.3% forecast. The front loading of capital expenditure on roads, railways, renewable energy products has actually created a multiplier effect, stimulating demand not only for materials like cement, steel and heavy machinery, and also the logistics sector, and the national logistics policy has played a great role in reducing the cost of moving goods across the country. And the third, which is very interesting from a country standpoint, is the resilience in agriculture. Better than expected performance of the rural economy, buoyed by the favorable monsoons last year, and in fact, buoyed by a consumption boost, which could be attributed to the GST reform and the reduction of GST rates, which has led to buoyant FMCG sector. So these are the three type of factors that the IMF has looked at in raising the forecast to 7.3% for this year.
Dilip, when the IMF calls India as a crucial growth engine for the global economy, what does that practically translate into for global capital flows, for supply chains, and for India's bargaining power in the international forums?
So Rajesh, there's three questions into one, so let me try and answer them one by one. So if you look at a high growth, this immediately is a signal to potential investors who are looking at alternate areas to invest in, that India is a high growth market, and therefore foreign direct investment in manufacturing services would be looking at India over the next few months. An interesting aspect of why they would be looking at India is because IMF has specifically pointed out that the consumption is also rising. So they would look at very interesting domestic market in India. The second thing, if investment increases and If the Indian market is large and very attractive to overseas companies, then it gives us a greater kind of toehold and bargaining power in our international discussions that we're having with different countries, especially in the FTAs that are being discussed currently. While the EU seemingly has been concluded, but there are other FTA talks going on which would be interesting. And being an attractive market and actually the fastest growing economy, faster than most other economies in the world, it puts us in a position to, gives us a very firm position at the table and also helps us to articulate our voice on different economic matters, especially since India is a leader in certain fields, especially in renewable energy and in those segments, which are climatically very important and very important to the global world order going forward.
On the investment front, Dilip, there is a narrative that public capex has led the cycle, while private capex is only gradually coming back. What point do you see private sector investment taking the baton, and what will trigger that pivotal decisively?
Rajesh, I think it's important to again break this down. Yes, if you look at overall private sector capital over the last few years, it is not performed as well as people would have anticipated it to. But some of the reasons that are attributed to the lack of investment previously were the, you know, uncertain global headwinds that were there. Second was that capacity utilization of many domestic plants in key sectors was around 72-73%, well below threshold of 75 or 80 when companies start investing there. And also there was a challenge in looking at the acquisition of certain capital goods and machineries from different geographies of the world. So if you look at this, and also people were worried about the tariffs being imposed and the different discussions we're having in the free trade agreements. Now, a lot of that surround has actually settled down. The free trade agreements with UK, with the other European nations other than the EU have been concluded. We've had other bilateral FTAs come into play. And I think industry is a bit more confident at this point of time. And the tariffs have actually been a sort of a blessing in disguise, if I may use those words, that companies were forced to look at alternate markets and alternate products. And then that has brought about all the investment and plans for investment. So if you look at potential CMIE data for private sector investment going forward, it is actually showing a different trend from the past. And of course, the GST reduction and the boost of domestic consumption has led to greater confidence in the market expansion, and how the consumer has reacted in different sectors is definitely going to get private sector capital in.
India's electronics exports, Dilip, has reached about $47 billion in 2025, a record level and roughly 37% higher than the previous year. What, in your view, are the key structural shifts that made this jump possible?
Actually, that was the third point in private sector investment, which I was going to talk about. So it's good to talk about in the context of the electronics sector. So if you see over the last 2 to 3 years, the government has announced a production-linked incentive scheme, right? So if you look at that, and if you look at the electronics sector, right, there is something very significantly happening there. There were projections earlier on that India's electronics imports will exceed its oil imports. And this was a matter of concern. So the government actually looked at the different high growth import items, and mobile phones was one of them. And India actually announced a production-linked incentive scheme to manufacturers starting that time with manufacturing mobiles and other equipment first year. And now they have actually looked at different electronic areas for production-linked incentive scheme. And now the latest one, they're looking at components. So the production-linked incentive scheme has been a real driver for that. And if you look at the last few quarters, I think India overtook China to become the world's largest smartphone exporter to the United States. Of course, the tariffs have kind of moderated that, but the shift is really very interesting in the global dynamics. It's also electronics have emerged as the fastest growing export category. So if you look at the data that I have access to, they grew about 37.82% in the April-October compared to the previous year. And of course, the government has also put huge ambitious targets in this sector, looking at about $300 billion worth of electronic production by the end of next year, and with a $120 billion target of exports. So what is happening here is the impact of the PLI scheme is very simple. there are is a production of about 7.15 lakh crores cumulative till now. Is the creation of about 1.4 lakh direct jobs, primarily in the electronics manufacturing sector. And it's got over 10,000 crores in fixed and fresh capital investment into the electronics sector. So you're seeing exports, you're seeing investment, you're seeing manufacturing, and you're seeing growth of jobs resulting in this through this PLI scheme in the electronics sector.
Okay.
And we have both a mix of foreign companies and Indian companies participating in this.
So what I hear you say is that in 2014 to 2015, we had 1.9 lakh crore rupees growth in the electronic goods production to over 11 lakh crore rupees in 2024-25. And which, according to you, is because of the PLI-driven smartphone manufacturing policy design that we have. And also, if I may add, to this ease of doing business reforms. How much is China plus one supply chain diversification is able to contribute towards this?
The PLI scheme was very well timed. It was timed when people were looking at China plus one. In many sectors, initially people thought that the China plus one strategy will not work. But if I were to look at the electronics sector and look at what has happened over the last 2 to 3 years, it is very clearly the result of global buyers and global markets looking very clearly for a China plus one strategy in the electronics field, for example. So that is a very good area. The second thing is that the other sectors also, if you are looking at, a lot of people thought that the apparel sector would be hit, but the apparel sector, the pharmaceutical sector and other sectors are also showing resilience in exports, primarily because of the China plus one strategy, which is being followed by a lot of markets, and also the need to diversify supply chains to protect against any disruptions or against any tariffs which may come up in this place. So it's important. The China plus one strategy is a very important factor.
Okay.
And I think very slowly but surely, India is learning how to actually bridge that gap and take advantage of it.
Let's listen to Union Minister of Electronics and Information Technology, Ashwini Vaishnav, as he talks about the growing exports of India's electronic sector.
Our electronic production has grown 6 times in the last 11 years. Today, electronics manufacturing has touched 12 lakh crore rupees. Electronics exports has gone up 8 times. 11 years ago, nobody could think that we will be exporting electronics. Today, it has crossed 3 lakh crore rupees.
Dilip, electronics exports have now crossed the $4 billion mark in 7 out of 12 months in 2025, showing sustained momentum. What does this tell you about the underlying competitiveness of Indian manufacturing? Have we crossed a structural threshold, or is this still a fragile phase?
Rajesh, the way the electronics sector has been handled, it gives actually 3 very important messages. And you had also mentioned about the ease of doing business.
Yes.
And, you know, if I look at the Gati Shakti project, which was the whole logistics project that was there. And then if you look at the Prime Minister's focus on certain infrastructure projects, and he takes this review periodically. And if you look at how the state governments are also getting their act together and supporting very specific manufacturing, which is now actually even translating into semiconductor support. This combination of this and the ease of doing business, more importantly now going forward, is the 4 labor codes that have been notified. And with the electronics industry and all allowing women to work at night, even before the codes notified, and looking at flexible working hours, all this has led to a competitive kind of environment, if you look at within India, that is kind of in transition, but less chances of reversal. But also at the same time, it's part of work in progress. As the government also understands, you have these 2 committees looking at MSME challenges from the government. So it's a building block. It's work in progress. In some specific areas, we managed to address most, if not all, of the concerns. But I think companies and businesses are working in partnership with the central government and state government to ensure that we actually enable the competitive environment in India to compete with the best in the world.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Money Talk. A big thank you to you, Dilip, for sharing your insights.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's rising economic strength, growth projections and record electronics exports. The participants were Dilip Chinoy, economic analyst, and Rajesh Leek, anchor.
Money Talk.